This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the Rays Radio Network.
Swinging a pop fly shallow right, charging Margot. He is under it, and the Tampa Bay Rays have just won the American League pennant. For the second time in franchise history, the Rays are on their way to the World Series.
Welcome to Countdown to Opening Day.
There's a swing and a drive right center field. Back and it goes, Betts to the wall. Get out of here. It's gone. Record-setting ninth home run this postseason for Randy Arozarena.
Coming up, we sit down with Rays players, coaches, and front office executives to discuss the latest news in Rays baseball.
Swinging a long drive deep to left field. Going back is Gardner all the way to the wall. It's gone! A home run for Mike Brasso. The Rays have taken a 2-1 lead and sweep justice in San Diego.
Now, to get you ready for opening day, here are the voices of the Rays.
Welcome, everyone, to baseball season. It is the Rays 2021 campaign, and this is our countdown to opening day radio show. Along with Dave Wills, I'm Andy Freed. Opening day coming up April the 1st against the Marlins. Of course, we'll have it all for you right here on your home of the Rays, 95.3 WDAE and 620 AM. And we've got things to talk about leading into the season, not the least of which being spring training. And Dave, of course, that is here. And among our guests will be Eric Neander in just a couple of minutes. And the Rays made numerous moves this week. In fact, right before we started the show.
Boy, I'll tell you what, we kind of wait to the very end, and I'm not sure that we're done yet. Matter of fact, as we found out, Rich Hill is going to be a guy that's going to help bolster this pitching staff. And here's a guy that when he's healthy and when he's on the mound, can be a little tricky to hit and has been able to get a lot of big outs in his career. But Akil will be keeping him healthy. And I think, again, it's a very diversified kind of rotation and pitching staff that it seems to be putting together by Eric Neander and company. And Rich is going to be kind of an intriguing mix. John Curtis got traded to the Miami Marlins for first baseman Evan Edwards, who's been playing in the minor leagues. It's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. John was a kind of a real big surprise to this Rays team in 2020, but in order to get something, you got to give up something. And speaking of that, then the Rays also traded catcher Ronaldo Hernandez, which I think was a little bit of a surprise. And we'll talk about that a little bit with Eric here in just a little bit, and the minor leaguer Nick Sogard for Jeffrey Springs and Chris Mazza. Two other guys that if you just look at the initial numbers, Andy, you kind of scratch your head. You're wondering why are the Rays giving up on such a young prospect in Ronaldo Hernandez? But I think, as we all know, the Rays don't look at just the numbers that stick out at you, the win-loss record, the ERA, and so on and so forth. They take a look at a lot of under-the-hood numbers, and I think they're very, very intrigued by both of those guys. Again, as we talked about this before, it's not just a case where we're looking for five or six starters and then eight or nine bullpen guys to put together a staff for the 2021 season. I get the feeling that we're going to be looking at a couple dozen, maybe even closer to three dozen pitchers by the time this is all said and done to try to get the 1,400 and change outs you need for a regular season after playing just 60 games a year ago. So those were some of the moves that were made. We'll also talk a little bit later on. We'll give you some information about the new Rays season memberships that are going to be available here now. A lot more flexibility with those, getting away from the traditional season tickets for a year, maybe, depending on how it all goes, because of the COVID-19 restrictions that will limit how many people will be inside the ballpark. So all this stuff kind of coming on our laps here as pitchers and catchers report down in Port Charlotte. And then just a few days from now, we'll have the full squad down there for a little while. And then a week from Sunday, I believe it is our first broadcast. So it's coming at us fast and furious, whether we're ready for it or not. I think I'm ready.
Oh, we're definitely ready. And later we'll talk to Tyler Glass now, too, about how everyone predicts the Rays and underestimates them every year. And look, I can understand. There's no Blake Snell. There's no Charlie Morton. But I think the Rays are trying to be at that leading edge of figuring out how to best prepare for this year with regard to innings totals for pitchers. So much about baseball is one year leading into the next, whether it's, you know, 20% more in terms of innings pitched from the year before, trying to keep guys healthy. But I think a lot of the moves we're seeing this week, even the Aaron Sleggers move to the Angels, it's about clearing roster space to try to make sure as they plan this thing, and no one knows exactly how to do it, but they're trying to be progressive in thinking about just how many spots there are to make sure that there's room for everybody.
Yeah, you know, and obviously being kind of hamstrung during the offseason by the number of pitchers that we had on that are going to have to start the season on the 60-day out. All those guys, though, as we come to spring training that starts today, can now be placed on the 60-day DL. There's a lot of clerical stuff that only really Neil knows for sure. But a lot of that stuff started today by being able to put a few of those guys on the 60-day DL, which opens up a few roster spots, which allows us to go and bring in, you know, the pitchers like Mazza and Spring, add Hill. There's some rumblings about another former Major League pitcher that we'd be able to add as well. So there's going to be some maybe more maneuverings between it's all said and done. But, again, and Eric, I trust. I know in Eric, we trust, and really looking forward to getting things going down in Port Charlotte.
Indeed, we absolutely are. And you really have to, if you look at the Rays underestimated last year, make it all the way to the World Series. And here we are in 2021, looking forward to the same thing. First broadcast is going to be February the 28th. Don't forget the Rays and the Atlanta Braves. But now, as we prepare ourselves for 2021, we are joined by Rays Senior Vice President and General Manager Eric Neander, who makes all the moves. Quite a busy week, Eric, especially for a team and a guy like you that had quite a short offseason.
Not a lot of time to reflect and process 2020, that's for sure. A lot of time spent on preparing our club, the roster itself, for 2021, and then just figuring out logistically how we're going to pull this off and just keep everybody safe and healthy and all the things that are paramount to making this go. But, you know, that being said, you know, we're here, you know, we're starting to go now, and it's real, and it's in practice. It's not just in theory, and that's certainly exciting and energizing. But yeah, I don't, wherever 2020 stopped, I know there was a World Series. I know we didn't come out in the right side of it, but it's one big blur over the last 12 months, and we'll just keep pushing along here.
Eric, when you think back to everything that went on during the 2020 season, with it being condensed to 60 games, no minor league season, we did make it to the World Series, so there were some growth moments, obviously, for a lot of guys, even as it turned out to be in just an 80-game season where, you know, the younger players had to kind of, again, get old quick. The guys who, like a Shane McClanahan, didn't even play a regular season game, went to the postseason. Yeah. You would hope that moments for him in the postseason now get him ready for 2021. Can you quantify, I guess my question is, can you quantify what 2020 did with regards to maybe the development of some of these young players and also maybe our window, if you will? I mean, This is a window that is going to be open for a little while, but did it maybe open the window a little further? Did it close it up a little bit? Can you quantify that?
Yeah, look, the 90 wins in 18, and the 2019 and the DS, you know, pushing Houston the brink, and then last year the success we had, I think the on-field progress is documented and notable and highly beneficial to all that have experienced that, both players and staff alike, and certainly I hope our fans as well. This is something that we fully intend to remain competitive and to do this for a while. You know, a lot of work, time, energy has gone into, and some good fortune has gone into, to really strengthening our major league club to a point of this level of competitiveness and our farm system and what's underneath. And it takes both of those things to be operating at a really high level to have a chance to maintain some level of sustained competitiveness. But we feel like we're very much in a place where we're very capable of doing that. We've still got to play the games, but we're really proud and excited about where we are competitively and where our talent base is, and not just for this season, but looking out and beyond. And certainly I think 2020, it was a disruptive season. It was unlike any season that we've ever experienced, and hopefully something that we don't experience anything quite like that again. But with it, you learn to really appreciate the game and all that it provides us, and that the perspective that comes from that for veteran players and young players alike is something that's powerful. And there's a lot of opportunity that can come from an experience like that. And I hope it helps our players just continue to mature and for all of us to have the right perspective on just how important this game is to us and the limited opportunities we have to make the most of it, that we do that.
In light of what you're saying, you can understand people saying, well, then if the window's open, then how could they not get Morton? How could they trade Blake Snell? The Morton thing was, I think, somewhat expected. The Snell thing may have been a little more unexpected because of 3 years left. That being said, is it safe to say that you were wowed or bowled over with what the Padres were offering? Because what I've been saying, correct me if I'm wrong, the Rays certainly did not have to trade Blake Snell this offseason.
No, that you're right. And part of our approach, stepping back from the specifics of that, you know, the Blake trade itself, is like our belief that the best chance for us to win a World Series is by having clubs year in, year out that are competitive and they continue to be dependent on young players ascending into greater roles. And that has its moments that can be frustrating, but I can promise you on the other side, if we really push chips in and then we take 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years off, you know, to tear it down and to try to build it back up, that has its fun moments and it has a lot of moments that aren't nearly as enjoyable. And just, this is our belief in terms of what we have to do, you know, within our constraints, and everyone has their constraints and their stresses, but we believe that sometimes these trades that in isolation, you know, for this club, you could say is a step back, but we hope that over the next several years, it allows us 2 steps forward. And, you know, that's, those types of moves are in our history. They've been there. And I think they've been a big reason for our competitiveness over time and the amount of games we've won. And like I said, we have a lot of confidence in the pieces we have underneath, the pieces we got back in that deal, a couple of them in particular here for 2021, that we're well positioned if everyone does their part to keep this thing rolling.
You know, and we're visiting with Eric Neander, Senior VP of Baseball Operations and General Manager for the Rays, on our Countdown to Opening Day show with Andy Fried. I'm Dave Wills. And, you know, as a fan, it's easy to get caught up with saying, all right, well, we lost Charlie. We traded Blake. We got Michael Wacha back. We brought back Chris Archer. We've added a few other pieces. We're hearing about Rich Hill and maybe a couple of other guys who could be in the mix once spring training hits and gets going. And I look at it as, and I was told there'd be no math, Eric, in this when I wanted to become a broadcaster, but I've been looking at this number, 1,458 innings. That's how many innings are in a regular season of 162 games with 9 innings per game. I know some might be short because of doubleheaders, but with that being said, I get the feeling that you guys as an organization, it's about run prevention for us, and we're figuring out how to make the most of getting 0 runs put up during 1,458 innings. And it was going to take more than just Snell and Morton. It's going to take more than just Wacha and Archer. It's going to take a pretty big effort from probably anywhere from about, I don't know, maybe 25 to 30 pitchers by the time it's all said and done.
Yeah, I think I'd take it. If you told me right now that's all we need, I think we'd sign up for it. I think for us, we've embraced the uncertainty that comes with this season and the expectations of going back out to 162 games, but, you know, potentially with disruptions. And while the doubleheaders shave some innings, they also put 14 innings on a single day. So we played 80 games last year. We were fortunate to play 80 last year. A lot of teams played 60, and we still saw a lot of pitchers go down. And so to come into this year, I think it's important for us that we have strength in numbers, you know, with our group, and we have a lot of players that are more than happy, more than willing to do whatever is best for the team and are really bought into that type of mentality. And we'll see where this thing goes, but you know, this is a staff that as it's built, should be flexible, should be adaptable to unexpected performances, both good and bad, and certainly health, which is something that for this season and to come back to 162 games, we felt was necessary. And if we're going to be competitive, we needed to have, if we're going to miss on innings, we need to miss with too many innings available, not too few.
Is the uncertainty more of, like you were saying, you don't know who could go down injury wise, but also a lost year developmentally within the organization and within all organizations? There was, you know, you had the alternate sites, but I don't know how that really applies. How do you judge a player's development, and how do you judge another player, maybe from another organization, that you might have interest in their development when everything was such a mess last year?
Yeah. It your words are spot on. And it's a question that we ask ourselves over and over again, because at the major league level, you're at risk for overweighting and interpreting the results from last year too much in some of these samples and drawing too many storylines and narratives from them. At the same time, you have all these players that didn't even play a championship season game that it's like, I don't know. I'm not sure which one's better in terms of where they were. I think we'd all take the game, certainly. But with it, in these limited samples, comes a risk for being tricked or being fooled in terms of what you think and where you think a player's at, one way or the other. So, you know, for us, it's just having, I think, the appropriate amount of humility to just recognize those things, recognize that, look, we're all in the same boat. Every team's in the same boat. But to recognize the uncertainty that exists even more than what we would have normally from a performance and a health and physical standpoint, and just try to do the best we can to be covered on all those fronts for what we don't see coming.
Well, you know, and Eric, when we talked to you already a couple of times privately during this off season, when we made a couple of those moves with San Diego and with Texas, and we'd come back and we'd say, well, you know, what do you know about this guy? Well, you know, you said 365 days ago or in 2019, we really liked him. Now the question is he going to be 2 years older or 2 years better? Yeah. That's going to be so hard to quantify with some of these moves. And one of the moves you made too is catcher Ronaldo Hernandez, a guy that, you know, we've been hearing a lot about in the minors, about his offensive potential, still had some room to grow defensively. You lose a season. I mean, that probably hurt him as much as anybody, but you move him to the Boston Red Sox for a couple more arms. As I said earlier, 25 to 30 pitchers. We need some depth in that spot going into 2021.
Yeah, without question, and Ro did everything asked of him, and you know made the most of the experiences that he had and the alternate site, and he had a taxi and so on. And you know nothing against him by any means, but when you know with Mazza Springs, these are two arms that's safe to say we appreciate them and expect more of them than, you know, what their 2020 ERAs might indicate and the way that they fit our club. I think that's obvious. You make a trade like this for those reasons. And obviously the added benefit of two players that we believe are going to help our team over the course of 2021 and ideally beyond, and where we are competitively given our needs to really bolster our arms. And like I said, if we're going to miss the mark here, it's got to be on too many innings, not too few. These are two talents that we think we can get a little more out of and are going to help us win a lot of games. And that's what we're after right now.
Eric, I always think of Joe Maddon's quote from so many years ago. He said, they shouldn't have called it baseball. They just should have called it pitching, because that basically is what it's all about. And that's what we've talked about here. But in light of that, in our remaining moments too, I want to touch on positionally, the Rays are still fairly set, right, from where they were last year. A couple of subtractions, Hunter Renfro maybe towards the top of the list, but the outfield seems to be having an overabundance of numbers, a full season of a Rosarena, and infield, it seems positionally, we're fairly set. Do you feel comfortable positionally for this team right now? And most of your concentration has gone towards the pitching side?
Yeah, I think that's accurate. I think that's fair. The position players that logged time last year that are returning, we have a lot of confidence in that group and how they all fit together and complement one another, and of course the experiences that they had playing that deep in the postseason and all that. So that's a group that, as they're built, we feel good about. We played last year with 28 players, and with a team like ours, when you have all these different pieces that all kind of fit comfortably, you know, and complement one another, that was a lot of fun. But now we got to trim it down and go back to 26, and with the added sensitivities on the pitching side, probably a little bit of a different mix in terms of what we need to get out of each roster spot. But by and large, that group and what we have coming back, we like them, we're excited about them, and believe that's a winning combination.
And again, if you're talking in a situation where you get a couple of guys that can stay healthy and stay on the field, I mean, you're looking at Austin Meadows being a difference maker when he was on the field and when he was playing healthy. Yandy Diaz, the same way. Brandon Lau, you know, Jimon Choi. I mean, the list goes on. And a guy that Kevin Kiermaier brought up the other day that, honestly, I kind of forgot about, Yoshi Tsutsugo, maybe a year more comfortable and now not as hurried and maybe overwhelmed by everything that went on. So this offense could be an interesting piece of the puzzle going forward. Maybe take a little pressure off of the pitching, which would be nice. And Neil from St. Pete, I got a letter here. Neil from St. Pete was wondering.
Neil S.
wants to know about a guy named Wander Franco. Will we see Wander Franco in 2021?
My default answer on that we've been asked a lot this winter is I hope so. You know, I think we're all rooting for that, because if we do see him, that means he's doing everything that he needs to do developmentally, both on the field and just how young he is, how much the expectations that are on him at such a young age. You want to make sure that you're setting the person up for success, and that when they come to the big leagues, that they're prepared for it, and that all the other stresses and pressures that exist in these environments are mitigated to the most, the maximum possible extent. So, we hope so. The talent's there. The potential is there. I think his desire to do this and to make the most of his abilities is there. And we'll see how it goes. But as long as those things continue on the right track, which they have been, like I said, we hope so. We see him this year.
Eric, we appreciate the time very much. It was a short off season, which is a good thing. Yes. We hope for a short off season next year, but we'll be talking to you, of course, throughout this year. Thank you so much for your time. And now that we're on the eve of spring training, let's get this thing going.
All right. Thanks, guys. We're pumped. We're ready to go.
Eric Neander, GM of the Rays, back in a moment on a Countdown to Opening Day show on 95.3 WBAE at 6:20 a.m., your home of the Rays.
Hi, I'm Kevin Cash. I may be the manager of the Rays, but I'm also a fan, big fan of the Crown Automotive Group. I've lived here all my life. Crown's dedication to our community, our children's education, feeding the needy, and to supporting my community. Our community is unwavering. That's why I'm a big Crown fan. With great Rays deals and Crown's great service, you'll be a big Crown fan too. Crown Automotive Group, the better way to buy and service. Official car and truck dealer of the Tampa Bay Rays.
Swing and a pop fly shallow right, and he makes the catch, and the Tampa Bay Rays have just won the American League pennant.
New season, new American League Championship trophy, and a new Rays season membership offering flexibility, value, and priority access to tickets. Get exclusive benefits, plus the versatility to choose the games, seat locations, and number of tickets that best fit your schedule.
The Rays are on their way to the World Series.
Visit RaysBaseball.com/season membership. Rays up.
Welcome back to the Rays Radio Countdown to Opening Day show with Andy Fried. I am Dave Wills. And remember, we talked a little bit about this at the beginning, introducing the all-new Rays season memberships. See your American League champion Rays, get priority access to tickets, and the flexibility to choose the games and seats you want in the way that best fits your schedule. Memberships start at just around $500. More information, visit RaysBaseball.com/season membership. That's RaysBaseball.com/season membership. Raise up. And Andy, we want to thank Eric Neander again for taking the time to join us in the first half of the show. And it's been a busy day for him, going last couple of days for him as we get ready for pitchers and catchers to report and show up at Port Charlotte here today. And now we've got a guy who has shown up at Port Charlotte ready to go and pick up where he has left off over the last couple of years with the Rays.
Always intense, always prepared and ready to go. And that's Tyler Glass now. And Tyler, we were talking to Eric Neander about, in a sense, a shortened offseason because the Rays played so long and played so deep. How is this offseason in terms of your personal schedule, training, getting ready as you always are? How is it different than a normal offseason where you may not go to the World Series?
Well, I guess it's obviously like another month or so off. But I think for me, in terms of like routine and whatnot, like you kind of like find your routine and what you need to do in the off season. And I feel like every off season, I kind of feel like I'm ready to go earlier than when we have to start back up. So this season I felt good, which is like, I didn't have to wait around as long. It's kind of like summer vacation in school. Like it's always super awesome. And then towards the end of it, you're like, all right, I'm ready to go back. So, but as far as like preparation goes personally, I think it's not like any different. I feel like I usually do when I come into spring.
All right, so reflect on your 2020. You were able to get the ball every fifth, sixth day, whatever the case may be. I looked real quick. I think you threw about 80 innings combined between the regular season and the postseason, maybe a little more than that. And you got the ball in game one of the World Series. You were one of the guys on this pitching staff to get this team to the American League Championship and to game six of the World Series. So as you reflect back on 2020, what was your takeaway from the way that you pitched from the beginning to the end?
I think overall it was a good growth year. I think it was like a year for me to kind of figure out what I needed to do in 19 to stay healthy and be consistent more on the mound. And as far as like understanding myself physically, I think it was another step forward. I think like as of now, I feel like I'm the best pitcher I've been in probably ever. I think it's just like the experience with a lot of the stuff I've found out physically and kind of incorporating it into like my routine. But it feels good.
How about, you mentioned growth individually, how about growth as a team? You know, in 2019 the Rays had a hard time getting past the Yankees, especially in New York. Last year, not only did the Rays dominate them during the regular season, and you a big part of that, but then in the postseason as well. The Astros knocked you out in 19 last year, able to knock them out. And then you get to the Dodgers, and anything could happen in a World Series. As it turns out, the Rays didn't win the World Series. But what? How much growth did this team undergo in 2020?
A lot. I think it's huge for us, just confidence-wise, like knowing how well we did last year. And we can honestly compete with anyone in the league, and we showed that last year. And I think 19 was a nice kind of like appetizer towards it, like going to the playoffs and just seeing how well we played. We ended up getting out of the first round, but I think in terms of like confidence and kind of, we were all such a young team at that time, know like, okay, we belong and like we can compete with anybody. And then last year just kind of like reinforced that same mentality. So I think everyone's just ready to go. And I think it's more of a, we just kind of, not like we expect to go to the playoffs, but I think we're all just like, that's everyone's mindset right now is like, that's our goal this year for sure, to like go back to compete and obviously try to win a World Series.
Rays pitcher Tyler Glasnow joining us here on our Countdown to Opening Day show, again with Andy Fried. I'm Dave Wills. And, you know, Tyler, talking about that, though, again, it's another typical Rays off season where there's been some change. Blake Snell no longer here. Charlie Morton no longer here. You bring in Michael Wacha. Chris Archer, a guy you were traded for, now going to be a teammate. And then all kinds of other names being bantered about here over the last couple of days. And, you know, again, Charlie, Blake, I mean, pitching staffs are really, really usually a pretty tight-knit group. So what was your initial reaction when you saw both Charlie and Blake moving on this offseason?
Yeah, it sucks to start for sure. Like, you know, you don't want to see it, but I think knowing like that's just kind of the business of the game. Like if you were to expect the same team year in and year out, like you're kind of just lying to yourself. So I think everybody was like prepared for change. I think too, just the market size, and like that's kind of what has happened in the past. And obviously nobody wants to see people go, and especially two guys that are so cool on the field and off, just good clubhouse guys. Like it sucks, but I think now you kind of have to just turn the page and obviously remember everything. And like, it was such a good time to be with everybody, but now it's kind of moving on 2020. 21, right? Yeah, 2021. But now, I mean, we got the new team. I've met all the new pitchers and everything, and I know we're gonna mesh this year. And I just got done talking to Archer for a long time, and he seems like a really good guy, really articulate, knows what he's doing. And we got a pretty good starting staff this year. So I think it's a testament too to the front office and the moves they make. But I'm really confident going into this year for sure. I think the whole entire team is.
How does it change your role, Tyler? You know, when people would look at the Rays from the outside, they would think of you and Charlie and Blake as the top three starters in the group. And that was, you know, echoed by your placement in order in postseason. You guys would pitch the biggest of the big games. You came back on short rest, in fact, in game five in the division series and pitched great. How does it change your role now? And, you know, especially with the loss, say, of Charlie, who everyone would look to because he's so experienced. Well, now you have a pretty good amount of that experience. Does the absence of those two guys and the influx of some newer guys change your role in the way you kind of look at things?
No, I think I've always kind of given the cliche answer of like, I kind of just take it one day at a time. But like in the terms of like lining up, in terms of like what number you are in a rotation or anything like that, like you really can only control like what you can control. And I think like I've had the same routine for the last couple of years. Like I really come into my own like physical and mental routine. And it's just like, no matter really who's pitching on the team, like you really have to stay in your lane and do what you got to do. And like, you know that those guys are working hard and taking care of what they need to take care of. And it's your duty to the team to just kind of work hard and take care of what you need to take care of. And then everyone kind of just goes and works hard and all the stars align and the year ends up being what the year is. So, but for it honestly doesn't change. Like this year to last year, it's all the same, other than like things, you know, you need to work on and like some usage and like things you can improve on, like on the field stuff. But as far as everything off and all the other stuff that goes with it, it's all the same.
All right. So Tyler, with that being said, then, as you look ahead to 2021, is there something that as you look back on 2020, as you look ahead to 2021, is there something that you'd like to adjust to your repertoire? Is there something to just kind of maybe fine tune a couple of things? Is there a key component that you think can take you, I don't know, is there another level to Tyler Glasnow's game? I mean, as you look ahead, what are some of the things you'll be focusing on this spring to get ready for 2021?
I think for me, the biggest thing the last couple of years has been like physical consistency in terms of like my mechanics. And I think really it's been like the last year or so, I have really kind of started to like really come into myself physically in terms of like consistent mechanics and stuff. And I feel like for so many years, I was just kind of like limbs and bones and like trying to organize everything. And I think it's getting a lot easier year by year. And me and Snyder have been working on a slider, just something else I can throw in there for a strike. But I'm confident in like the work I put in the off season, and I've been working with Kyle actually before this. So I'm just going to use spring obviously as like kind of a time to like work on that third pitch and just try to like stay as consistent as I can physically and keep doing my routine physically off the field. That will help me on the field.
Do you think having a tall, I know this has been brought up in the past, but do you think having a former pitcher as your pitching coach, who was probably a lot of bones and limbs when he was pitching, has that assisted you? Has that been a helpful guide to have a guy who maybe knows a little bit about what you might be going through?
Yeah, but I also think like if Kyle was like 5 feet, like, or like 4'8", he would still be really a pitching coach. I think so much of it is he understands it from like so many different angles, like the analytical angle and the data driven angle. Like he gets that better than most people. And then like the physical angle and just the amount of feel he has is really impressive. And I think it's just, he's helped me so much. Like, and so much of it too is like stuff that's like A and B, kind of like, this is what you need to work on. But a lot of it too is just like the person he is. And I think so much of a good pitching coach is you're basically just like a friend, like therapist type. Like you go through so much in the course of a season to where like, mm-hmm. you want somebody you trust, and somebody you can, you know what I mean? Like you want a guy that you can talk to. And I really consider Kyle like a really good friend of mine, obviously like a pitching coach, but I consider him like a really good friend as well. So it just makes it easier in the course of 162 plus games a year to like have a friend there. And then somebody that you can put all of your trust in. I know he knows like how I work, and I know he knows how to coach me really well. So it's really just, sometimes it's kind of like autopilot in a sense. We mesh really well together.
I'm picturing a 4'8" Kyle Snyder, what yeah. that would look like. That would just be, yeah. you know, what
coming out to the mound to talk to him.
Exactly. Tyler, one word that you said last year fairly often that I've been wanting to ask you about is you said you wanted on the mound, you wanted to feel athletic. Yeah. That there are, is that like the anti of thinking of I'm elbows and bones and knees? What does that mean to you? It sounds good, but what does that mean? What does that put your brain into when you're out there going, I need to feel athletic out here?
Yeah, I think the cliche like with baseball is so much like, I just had been like, because I always had trouble throwing strikes even growing up because I was so long limbed. And like, you get so many people to reinforce like mechanical adjustments in your brain. And like, you start to separate from like, you have like a competition mindset and like a preparation mindset. When you have your practice mindset, you can kind of think about the small things and where your everything's lining up. And then the competition mindset, you need to just trust the things you worked on and go out there and be athletic. Go out there and like, you're playing basketball. And I think that's something that's like relatively new in baseball for me anyway. Like it's always just been about like nailing these certain positions and doing that. And I think it took me out of my like athletic competition mindset. Like if I'm sitting there thinking about where my toe is and my arm is, like I'm not going to be in a good spot. And some days like you're not going to feel good. And then trying to make like mechanical adjustments, you should be like, all right, today is just a day. I don't feel that great. I need to go out and be athletic and go out and compete and like try to just get hitters out as opposed to like trying to feel perfect and everything like that. So it's been a transition that I've made probably the last, like honestly, right when I got traded over to the Rays, I think I felt it a little bit with the Pirates, but like kind of having that new change of scenery and like really like putting my confidence into that mindset about being more athletic as opposed to being more like cerebral mm-hmm. has helped me. And Kyle has really enforced a lot of that into me too. And I think it's probably something that he's had to deal with even when he was a player. And it's just, I think the best pitchers in the game are the people that aren't out there like thinking about their mechanics. They do what they need to do off the field. And then once they get on to compete, they're just ready to go out and win.
All right. So this team seems to be ready to go out and win. They've done so over the last few years. They've gone from 90 wins to 96. To last year, we won 2 out of every 3 games we played during the regular season and then went to the World Series. You know, here we are now getting ready for 2021. And some of the pundits are saying, they're about a 500 team or maybe 85 wins and they'll battle for a wild card. All right, maybe it's just me and Andy and the rest of us fans who get caught up in all that and get all ticked off that the Rays are being disrespected, so to speak. From a player standpoint, what's your take when you read some of that stuff and you see that, all right, it's the Yankees division again, the Rays will battle for a wild card maybe. Does that fire you up, or is that just white noise to you guys?
To be perfectly honest, I don't even read that stuff. Like, I don't care. I really don't. Like, I think it's just people aren't doing it to be, like, malicious, or they're not doing it, like, personal. They're just – that's how they think. I think they're wrong, but, like, I don't really – that's whatever. Like, honestly, like, we have to go out and play. It doesn't really matter what people think before the season. Like, we got to go out and win. I know the confidence I have in this team and, like, what we've shown the last couple years. And but I don't know. I guess it's, like, normal spot to be in if you're a Ray. Like, every year I've been on this team, it's been like, we're not going to be very good, and then we end up being good. So, I mean, I don't know. It is what it is. I don't know. I think – us maybe not being at the top and having like big market teams on the top, maybe it's better for like fan exposure. Who knows why they're doing it, but like we clearly have a good team. I don't know how we line up in terms of like what all the professional, like, I don't know, whoever makes it, that stuff. I don't know where we line up, but I know that we're gonna be good. So that's all I haven't really read a lot of articles or anything.
Love when they underestimate the Rays. That's one of my favorite positions to be in. Tyler, thank you so
I think
much
so for- too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We appreciate it very much. Glad you're in great shape, ready to go, and welcome to the new season.
Appreciate it. Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me on.
That is Tyler Glasnow. And again, and you're following the Rays on social media yet, check out the Rays on all your favorite social media apps, including Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and even TikTok. Don't miss out. Follow the Rays social media accounts today. Hashtag RaysUp. We got a couple of minutes to talk about some of the other goings on and our first spring broadcast. And it all starts next, not this coming weekend, but next weekend. We'll preview it when we come back and wrap it up on this week's edition of the Countdown to Opening Day show on your home for Rays Baseball, 95.3 WDAE and AM 620.
Introducing the, I don't know, what do you want for dinner? Meal from Outback Steakhouse. It's a delicious platter of whatever you choose off Outback's menu, because you can get all your Outback favorites delivered straight to your door. Favorites like the, I don't feel like cooking, meal on the, I had a really long day and there's nothing in the fridge that's getting me excited, meal. So order now at Outback.com. Your dinner tonight or every night is just a few clicks away. Outback Steakhouse.
Swinging a long drive, deep to left field, all the way to the wall. It's gone! The Rays have taken a 2-1 lead.
Rays insiders know all the info, players' stats, stories about the team, and especially ticket details. Sign up for the Rays Insider email newsletter today and get weekly email blasts to keep you posted on all the latest Rays news, player features, ticket deals, and more. For more information, visit RaysBaseball.com/newsletter. Rays up!
And wrapping up our Countdown to Opening Day radio show, a reminder that the Rays team store at Tropicana Field has the gear you need to show off all of your team pride. Contactless curbside pickup and shipping options are now available. Represent your Rays as they prepare to defend an American League championship. Visit RaysBaseball.com/team store to view hours and details. Rays up. Dave, we often hear, underestimate the Rays at your own peril. And that sounded to me a lot of what Tyler Glasnow was saying, that he does not care in the least, nor do his teammates, how people are predicting the American League champion Rays are going to do in 2021.
Yeah, you know, again, we get so focused on it. I know that, you know, even going back to 2008, when it was about the first time where some of those pundits had predicted that the Rays would be a team that could maybe win more games than they lose for the first time ever, that was nice to see. And, you know, again, I know both you and I have difference of opinions. I don't mind the high expectations. As a matter of fact, I like to embrace them. I think it gets the fandom all fired up. Now, does that set you up maybe for a bigger fall at the end of the day if you don't live up to them? Maybe. But, you know, I think back to a year ago at this time, we had very, very high expectations for a Rays team that was coming off a 5-game series against the Houston Astros. And this team lived up to those expectations by winning 2 out of every 3 games during the regular season and get to within a game and a half of winning the World Series. So, you know, can you improve on that? Well, yeah, you can either make it to the 7th game of the World Series, but you can also win it all. But that's putting the cart before the horse. This team, I've been impressed with the way that Eric Neander has been able to kind of weave his way through this offseason. As I've said many, many times before, we have to, and this is, they're not a corporate sponsor, although they probably should be. We have to wait until everybody's done shopping at Nordstrom's, and then what's left over goes to Nordstrom's Rack, and we usually find some real, real good deals there. And boy, I'll tell you, just ask Mark Topkin. You can find a couple of nice pairs of shoes or even some nice shirts there. So I think I'm intrigued by everything. We didn't talk about it a lot in last week's show, but I'm very intrigued by the possibility of what Chris Archer can bring to the table. I'm also, you know, listening to Tyler, Andy, he said all the right things. I think, you know, the Rays and their fans are expecting him to maybe assume the ace position. Is he going to be our opening day starter? We didn't even bring that up to him. But I really, really like all the things that he said. And I think Tyler and is going to be fine as long as he can stay healthy. And I think health is going to be a big, big part of the Rays' success, as it always is. We've been dinged up a little bit in the last couple of years and still had success. But boy, it would be nice to play a season where we didn't have to worry about guys getting all beat up.
So true. And Dave, you and I will speak again on February the 28th for the first spring training game. And the next, I guess we'll call it This Week in Rays Baseball with Neil Solons, will be 12:30, right before the 1 o'clock broadcast on February 28th. Rays and Braves, Dave, it is here. We are ready to talk baseball now. And let's hope we go through October and end up with one of those big fancy rings on everybody's finger.
That'd be nice. Yep. I know we're getting a new one, but not quite the size that we were hoping for. So we still have room for improvement.
We sure do. That's Dave, and I'm Andy, and many thanks as well to Larry McCabe, our Senior Director of Broadcasting, and Chris Miller, who puts all of this stuff together. Thanks as well to John Mamola back in our studios at WDAE, who also does a terrific job, and Neil Solons, of course. Once again, next broadcast, first broadcast, February 28th, as the Rays take on the Atlanta Braves, who are also supposed to be pretty darn good, one would think, here in this 2021 season. This Week in Rays Baseball, starring Neil Solons at 12:30 and then 1 o'clock on Sunday, February the 28th. And again, opening day, April 1st, Rays and Marlins right around the corner. For Dave Wills, I'm Andy Freed. We thank you for joining us on Countdown to Opening Day on 95.3 WDAE and 620 AM, your home of the Rays.
Thank you for listening to Countdown to Opening Day.
Swing, line drive, right center. It's a base hit. Kiermaier around third. He scores the tying run.
If you missed any of the show, download it at RaysBaseball.com/radio.
And now they've got a couple of three third and home. The ball gets away. Into score, Rosarena. The Rays have won.
Opening Day will be here before you know it.
They're trying to catch him in the outfield, and they can't.
That has got to be one of the most unlikely endings to a World Series game in the history of baseball. The Rays have won it 8-7 on a base hit by Phillips.
For ticket information, visit RaysBaseball.com.
It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.